This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm joined by talented interior designer, entrepreneur, and host of the new home network show, Rentovation, Natalie Chung. But before we meet this designer and now television host, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Natalie Chung built her career off of inspiring people to invest in their spaces, no matter how long they intend to be there. Named House Beautiful's Next Wave as a designer to watch, Natalie was also a recurring design expert on the Marilyn Dennis Show. Natalie hosts the new home network series, Rentovation. What a great name. A proud renter for years, she's adamant that thinking outside the box is the key to creating dreamy, unique spaces. Now a wife, mom, and owner of Nest Design Studios, one of Toronto's top design firms, Natalie works with clients on any budget and any timeline. For her, each project is an adrenaline rush where the possibilities are endless. Love that. Natalie, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So great to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, congratulations on this new show. That's heady stuff.
Yeah.
It's on the Home Network.
Wow. I know. I wasn't expecting it, let's say. It's something I've wanted for about 10 years, but you never really know when it's going to happen. And I was just kind of in the position of, I guess we had just moved into our house. I'd been actually talking with the production company for about a year, but I had basically said to them, if I don't want to be on TV to just be on TV. Mm-hmm. I want to be on TV for something that aligns with the values and the design details that I enjoy. And it needs to be of a topic that makes sense. And also when they messaged me, I was a mom already of my first. And so I was like, it needs to fit within my lifestyle because I am the primary parent in my household. And I've always also wanted kids. So
that's lovely.
It worked out and the time worked out. And I actually found out I was pregnant just before my audition.
Oh my God. Okay, isn't it always like, no, I still get this because I'm in this house literally when I was 40 weeks pregnant with my daughter, Lily, who's an amazing theater actor, actress and singer living in New York. And I literally, like, I was going into labor as we were moving. It's,
That was the first one. So we moved when I was pregnant with my first, and then now I started filming a TV show very pregnant with my second.
Oh my goodness. Well, congratulations on all of the life stuff
and
the career stuff. It's all amazing. And just to tell our listeners, the Home Network, of course, is also home to other hit shows like Building Baumler, Scott's Vacation House Rules, Home to Win. We had Tiffany Pratt on recently. So tell us about Rentovation. What is it all about?
Rentovation focuses on rentals, and the big, I think thing is that Toronto is now becoming a city that's more and more unattainable to, let's say, the average budget, the average income. And so we've moved into a city of rentals as opposed to a city necessarily of ownership, right? Ownership is expensive unless you move even out of the GTA and you move further and further and further and further away. I mean, even those houses that are in the middle of nowhere, subdivisions, et cetera, are starting at hundreds of thousands of dollars than what the, I think, average income household could afford. And so what you've now created is a system where people are renting. And we've all rented at some point in our lives. I mean, my mom was a single mom. We rented till I was 18. We lived in a rent-controlled townhouse downtown Toronto. Perfect location. And also like being raised like in the city, like actually like minutes away from the St. Lawrence Market. It was the only thing she could afford. Mm-hmm. And back then, right? I'm 39 now. And back then it's been a while. And then I actually forgot that we even rented for that long until I've started to talk about the show. But so I've rented there with my mom, and then I rented with my boyfriend, who's now my husband. Then we built a house, then we rented when I had my first. And so it's become the norm, I would say, in a lot of ways. And I don't think there's any shame in renting versus owning. I just think that's the way that this whole direction has gone. So starting with that, it's a show that caters to what that is all about, because that's what's happening in our city. That's what's happening in the current climate. And now renters are included in the conversation, which has never really happened before. It's about living in your home, investing in your home, you know, hanging art, buying the right sized area rug, you know, yes, doing a few DIY things here and there, but really investing in the space that you're in. And I mean, I've been preaching this for years, regardless of, again, home ownership or not home ownership, but it's like, we all are so greatly affected by the spaces we're in. And I think the pandemic taught us exactly that, because we were home all the time.
To embrace our space. I love that you've put the spotlight on renting, because there's sometimes people think there's limitations with what you can do with design and decor. So it's so liberating and freeing, even just the thought of what this show is all about. It's amazing. So I'm going to ask you a question. So my daughter has an apartment in New York. Mm-hmm. Great apartment. Lovely. You're not allowed to put a fixture in the ceiling. You're not allowed as a renter to do that. Mm-hmm. So how many table lamps and floor lamps do you have in a space? What would you say to just a design question like that, just off the top? Because you're in a rental place. It's not your own home. You can't drill. And I find that a weird thing. You can't have a ceiling fixture.
Yeah. So it depends on a few things. So if I don't know the climate in New York versus the climate here, but in Toronto, when you buy a condo pre-construction, if you don't sign up for the electrical plan, all their ceilings are technically concrete. Wow. So you can't add a fixture if there's no light box that's in the ceiling. So that would be the first thing that I would say.
Wow.
And then secondly, I mean, if you're adding electrical, then I can see why a landlord would be like, listen, then I need to hire an electrician to come in, then I need them to drill the hole, then I'd have to do whatever. So your limitations on new, I'm not going to say newer builds, but condos in general that people don't understand is because there is a concrete ceiling. Mm-hmm. So it's not doable. Mm-hmm. You can run a conduit from another fixture across, but then it looks much more industrial. And I've done that because, like, I've lived in rentals where I'm like, I need pendant lights over this kitchen island. I can't function.
But
so asking permission, I think, is always the thing. Like, I always say, like, create a design board, a mood board, Pinterest, Google Slides, whatever you want to use to send them something digitally to kind of see the direction you're trying to go. Because I think a lot of times landlords are like, first of all, who's going to pay for this? Right. Secondly, how am I going to take it back to what it looked like when you leave? Like, let's say you love, I don't know, even know neon green walls. Like, I'm going to have to paint it back to whatever color. So just being clear about what your permissions are. And then I find when you give them like some sort of design board, like if you showed them the paint color,
right,
they might not shy away from it. I mean, I think most people don't like neon green walls, but they might not shy away from it. Like, I picked in every single condo I've ever lived in, I've picked like different shades of white, beige.
Yes.
I did one navy blue wall, a black wall. But I think once people are clear about what their limitations are, and asking for permission, the worst thing that they can say is no.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know there's a white that you love. I do my research and everyone has a favorite. And I don't know if this is past and it's changed, but yours is Benjamin Moore's White Dove.
You did great research. That is, I painted my whole house, my current house. My old house was painted Benjamin Moore Classic Gray. So slightly gray tone, brown undertone, but the whole house is painted that. And then we moved into my new house. Yeah, it is my favorite. We all kind of have our favorites and
our
like
favorite
it's hard
light.
To stray. I tried so hard to pick something else. When we lived in our rental condo, I bought like 8 swatches of different ones that other designers had suggested. Yeah. I put them all on the wall and I blind tested myself and I was like, that one, and it was White Dove. So I'm like, you like what you like.
You like what you like. But that's great. And that's great that you're confident and grounded in what you like. Is that, I think, makes clients feel very good too, right?
Yes. For my house, we can experiment. But yeah. No. I'm definitely 100%.
You become a chameleon. Like, my house is very white. Not this room, this is my office, but I become very white. Every room is white, white, white. I can't have enough white. Do you become a chameleon with your clients, or do you sort of like to show them who you are?
I think there was a time where interior designers were followed based on their aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, at the time when I started my firm, which was 15 years ago, but I had always said I was going to design for the client, not the designer, because at that time I was in my 20s. I don't want it to look like a 20-year-old girl lives here who has a boyfriend. I want it to feel indicative of whatever the people who are in it. So in the show, we have families with kids. We have families with no kids. We have four bachelor guys that live there together. Like, wow. I'm a mom of two who lives in a house, in a quote unquote traditional house, as in like I have three bedrooms, 2.5 baths. I have a backyard and a front yard. Like, I have a driveway. And like, that very much reflects our lifestyle as a family, as a young family. So I don't ever want it to reflect me. I mean, it has, I would say most of my clients or followers would say like, oh, this, I could tell this is Nest Design Studio. This is a Natalie Chong room. So I don't think I surprise anyone, but I like to say it's always like, it's your house with my lens, right? Yeah. It's how I would interpret your space, but you have to love it. It's not, I don't have to live there. You do. So if you love white and you love white in every room, I'm all for it.
That's so great. And I love even the language that you use when you say, I love to create dreamy spaces for people. Like, it just gives you, it allows your imagination to roam. And that's part of the fun of design.
Yeah.
You started doing this when you were 16 years old. That's very young to know your purpose.
Yeah, no, I started my company when I was 22. I knew I wanted to go into interior design when I was 16.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I watched design shows on the network and I was just like, oh, this is what you can do. Like, I didn't know that this was a job. And then sure enough, I just like kind of like followed that path. And I think it's rare. I mean, like, most of my friends didn't know what they wanted to do when they were 16. But and I just forged forward.
Yes.
Typical firstborn Virgo woman. of no surprise to my mother. it is pretty crazy. I think my husband too knew what field he wanted to be in pretty early. So that's why, I mean, we've been together for a very long time, but it's rare. It's rare.
That's fine. I'm a Pisces. I'm your opposite. And so Virgos, because they help me make sense.
Yeah.
It's great. You also got a lot of inspiration from your mom. She helped, I think, shape and helped to create or evolve your design sense, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. That? Yeah. So my mom was a landscape architect before she had me and my sister. And then in the 80s, there was a recession. So then she actually didn't go back to landscape architecture. She then was a stay-at-home mom. Always encouraging us to be like creative, like, you know, when we'd go out for dinner or we'd go out to spaces, we'd talk about the aesthetic, the ambiance. You know, landscape architecture is obviously outside versus interior, but always creative. My sister is a goldsmith. She's a jewelry designer. So we both went in the creative field. Yeah, she's everything. I mean, she's the best grandmother. I literally see her every day. I'm at her current house right now. She went out.
That's so great. She must be so proud. 22, that's awfully young to start your own design.
In a session.
That's really amazing.
Thanks.
How did that evolve? Like, you tell us about your brainchild, your beautiful, it's called Nest Design Studio.
Yeah.
How did that all evolve? Because 22, you barely know what you're doing.
Yeah. Just graduated from, I have a bachelor's degree in interior design and I just graduated and it was 2009 was the recession.
Wow.
And so no one was really hiring. I had worked at a couple design firms and they offered me a job for zero money to live in Toronto. It was not. And if I said it out loud, it's all relative. So I'm not going to name numbers. But it was not enough to live in Toronto. Like it just, you'd have to live at home, you'd have to live somewhere else. And it wasn't, the position that they offered me was not the position that I wanted. It would have, in a way, I would have been demoted as to what I was doing. But it was a blessing in disguise. I mean, like, I believe things happen for a reason and they happen, you know, for you, not necessarily to you. And it was, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to not do that and then start my own firm.
Yes.
Which I had no idea what I was doing. But I was the only one in my cohort that went into residential at the time. And I just thought, like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, I always tell people, I'm the only reason why I succeeded in starting it so early was just honestly because I had the balls to do it. I mean, like, we're all educated enough. We're all talented enough. We all, you know, you can buy business sense in a way, you can buy courses, you can take accounting classes, you can do whatever. But I was literally like, I literally just thought, why not? Let's try. And if it failed, then I still have my degree and I can still go back and I can work at a firm and do all the things. But my mom was, I think, maybe a little bit worried, maybe a little bit, because I lived at home. So I was supported, right? That's the other thing that I always tell people. Like, I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have kids.
Right.
I didn't have any responsibilities other than my car payments and my cell phone.
Yes.
Right. So without that, I couldn't have done it because I would have to pay for everything. And then eventually I left my mom's house and moved in with my husband, and then he supports me. So, but I think you just need the support, the financial and emotional support of somebody, and the belief and the drive and the, like I said, the balls to do it. And I mean, turned out I'm, I guess, pretty good at what I do and had enough sense to navigate that world. But it was wild. 2009 was crazy because it was the recession and people weren't spending money in the same way. And
who was your first, you don't say names, but can you tell us about your first or one of your first clients?
Yeah. So I did a lot of stuff for free for my friends because yeah. They had just like either graduated moving out of their parents' house into like a roommate scenario.
Right.
So I did a couple projects for my girlfriends. And then I'm trying to remember now. I had one client in particular. She's my ophthalmologist. I told her what I did. She's lovely. Her name's Vishaka. And it was her and her husband. And they lived in a house in Oakville. And they were willing to take a chance. And they believed in me. And they were probably one of my first paying clients.
So cool.
And then I don't even
feel, how good did it feel when you got that check and you're like, I did this? Like,
I know, they are so encouraging though. It was like, it felt like almost weird that I was taking their money because I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but they were lovely and supportive. And she's still my ophthalmologist. I see her, you know, every couple of years and, or whatever. And it's, yeah, she's lovely. Like, we still keep in touch. So it's great. It's great.
That's so incredible. So you signed up for architecture classes right away. By age 22, you launched, as we just discussed, your firm Nest Design Studio. What would you say, Natalie, it is about you that characterizes you from all of the other designers in the city? And there are many.
Mm-hmm. The world is big but small at the same time.
Right.
What would I say that's the difference? I don't know. I think I was probably one of the first ones to go out at the time to say that, listen, you're not following me because of my aesthetic. I'm now going to help you create your own. Because that wasn't the way. That wasn't the way. There was no, I mean, we had the internet, but there was no Instagram, Pinterest, like any platform that allowed us to source, like to find inspiration. It was magazines. And most designers didn't even have a website.
Wow.
So I feel like I was probably forging, I don't say the first, but I was forging that direction, which now I feel like that's what everyone does.
Sure.
Generally. I think another part of it is just, yeah, not relying on any sort of personal network in a way. Like, I think a lot of us are connected culturally or financially through like certain groups. I'm Canadian. I'm Asian, but I'm Canadian. So I don't, specifically, I'm first born or first generation on my mom's side, second generation on my dad's side. But like, there isn't a specific like cultural group that I associate with.
You're there for everybody.
For everyone. So it was, I think I just kind of went in, not that the other designers are leaning on that, but I think you end up in like a group, either it's like a network of similar people or a similar culture or a certain neighborhood that you live in where you tap into those resources, as anyone should. I didn't have that, right? So I was kind of just out there, you know, fishing. Generally, honestly, and spreading my design aesthetic kind of everywhere. So I was, you know, doing videos for House and Home. I was on Pinterest. I was doing interviews. Like, Instagram at some point came around, and then we started to promote through there. So it was kind of, I always like to say, like, I spread my seeds far and wide to kind of see what happens, and hopefully they flourish at some point.
Totally.
So I feel like that's maybe the difference.
What was the gig like on the Marilyn Dennis show? That must have been a trip.
Yeah. So I competed in a design show called Canada's Next Designer, and it was on Bell. It was funded through, or not funded, I guess commissioned, but basically through IKEA and Bell Media. And it was the Marilyn Dennis Show producers with IKEA Canada, and it was a competition. I didn't win, but they offered me a position on the Marilyn Dennis Show after I didn't win.
Oh, wow.
And I to be fair, I'm going to be honest, it wasn't the thing that I wanted. I was like, I just want to go to Sweden and I want to see the lead designers in IKEA. That is my dream. And it didn't happen. And so I thought, okay, like, I mean, I guess this is an opportunity because Marilyn wasn't a show that I watched. I'm not her demographic. Right. I have no kids. I'm working as in I'm not a stay-at-home mom yet. I'm not retired. I'm not at home watching daytime television. I'm hustling out in the world. So I got the position through there and it was wild. Like it was a world that was totally different than the design show, than the design competition, which was another whole other thing that was wild. Marilyn was intimidating. I mean, like she's a pro. She's been on for forever. She's so lovely. Was always lovely to me. Remember details that she didn't ever need to remember. I don't know if she has like a little mic in her ear where she's like, remember she has a dog and she has two kids. I don't know. I don't know, but she was always wonderful. And it's nice to see, I think for two reasons, but it was nice to see younger designers on the show where we got the opportunity to be on TV and also diversity from like, not just ethnic diversity, but like younger female or new graduates, never been published, don't have a massive design firm in Rosedale. Like it was all, we were kind of breaking all these barriers.
I know who you're thinking about because I know who the old guard was.
She has her friends.
Yeah.
Which are super talented and they're all great and they're all very nice.
Yes.
But we just need fresh.
You locked things up.
And it continues to evolve. And her production team is diverse. So it needed to come into the TV world. So she was incredible. I mean, I loved it. It was very stressful. There's a lot of work in per episode. I knew all the producers because I had worked with them on the other show. So it was a little bit less nerve-wracking. But live TV, as in it's a live taping with a real audience, but it's not like, it's not actually live, is crazy because you're in a room with like 60 people who are watching you.
Yes.
And you can't screw up. Like, you can, but you can't.
I think it makes you better.
100%. It was meant to be. And I truly believe in that, but it just wasn't what I wanted.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your design aesthetic because I love seeing all the pictures and all that you design. And I've read that you love calm, classic and timeless looks. Mm-hmm. Can you describe more about your design, your own personal design aesthetic?
Don't answer that just yet, Natalie. We're going to go on a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll hear more about Natalie and Nest Design Studio's beautiful design aesthetic. We'll be right back after this short break. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740. And just before the break, Natalie, I asked you about your own personal design aesthetic.
So, like I said, I'm a mom of two. We built our house. We finished in February 2024. And so that was a dream to renovate and build my house with my husband and my family. I mean, it's every designer's dream to start from scratch. Yes. My husband likes to say my favorite words are gut it and custom. Yeah. custom everything, gut everything.
Did you start with a mood board as you advised your clients for yourself?
Yep. Wow. Yep. I had full design pages of every single room I was going to do, details that I was going to do. We did hire an architect because I was pregnant. So we bought the house 2021, started the build 2022, moved in 2024. So I had time, but I was also pregnant and then had a newborn for the very first time. So that was wild. Mm-hmm. So our architect managed a lot of it and he was amazing. But I think as time evolves and as you get better at making better decisions financially, you realize that the decisions you make matter. And so I would rather lean on things that are like classic, timeless,
yes,
like almost like casual luxury, as in like, I don't want anything to be too precious because I have two kids, but that doesn't mean my white sofa is in cashmere. It's in a outdoor fabric that I can spray my favorite cleaning spray and rub it down and then bissel the whole thing, as my child stamped his bed with his name stamp, which is permanent, the other day, up to 100 washes, in case anyone's wondering.
Oh my God.
I almost had a heart attack. And I was like, oh, this is why I did a custom bed in a custom fabric, because I took out my Folex and started scraping it frantically. It all came out. Crisis averted.
Thank goodness.
But investing in pieces that matter, but also investing in quality is really important to me. And then subbing in things that are trendy or current is like little things, accessories, you know, maybe a cushion cover here and there, etc., is the way that I design for my clients, but also for myself. But I just think classic is classic in a lot of, by no means is my house traditional, I would say, but it's definitely not like trendy.
Can you describe your living room, grand room? Like, if you just had to, if you were describing in a paragraph in a book for someone what this living room, grand room looks like, how would you describe it?
So my walls are White Dove. I have these beautiful, massive windows to let light in. That was my big thing for my architect. I was like, I need you to let as much light in my space. It's a neutral palette. Like, my base of my sofa and my two swivel chairs are neutral, but different textures. I have plaster walls on my fireplace. I have white oak furniture. My island is this like dark oak curved island. My marble, I have a statement marble on my island, and my backsplash, which is this veiny brown, creamy, like wine colored marble, mostly white though, as we, I'm a neutral base at heart. I'm trying to think, it's warm, it's inviting, it's, again, I want my marble, people always say like, why did you pick marble? And I said, because I want it to age like fine wine and like a woman without Botox. I want to see those lines and wrinkles and, you know, like acidic rings. And I want to be like, that's where we had this epic party. And I want it to age well, and I want it to age and patina over time. And that's where, again, I have two boys. It's not like we don't make a mess. We just pick better quality items. But yeah, warm, inviting, casual luxury is what I like to call it.
And you have a dream closet I've read about, and I don't know if this was an
interview. I do.
Can you describe it very briefly?
So my dream closet for my dream budget got canned really bloody fast, because at the end of my build, it was the cost of a kitchen. So the reality is I went to IKEA. Just IKEA'd the whole thing.
They're great.
They are great. I'm a massive IKEA fan.
Totally.
But I'm selective with IKEA. I'm careful with IKEA. I'm selective, and I'm discerning with the things that I use and how I use them. So I did white oak doors throughout, and the frames are like a beige color. So it doesn't feel like IKEA, because I feel like the classic IKEA is like the black, brown, or the white.
Yes.
And then I did, you know, like my own knobs from a hardware company. And then I have a vanity desk that I put a piece of marble on top of the IKEA vanity desk. So there's little elements that make it feel custom. My dream is that I'm going to add to those boxes and build custom like sections. That way I kind of piecemeal. So my dream closet is my budget dream closet, but it works perfectly and it looks fantastic. I have no complaints.
That's great. It's like a makeup line that's by very fancy, and then you find the same one at Shoppers, right?
Oh, 100%.
That is absolutely as good. And
I love a dupe. It's right? A dupe. It's a dupe. It's an IKEA version dupe, a Nally Chong IKEA version dupe. And I'm totally fine with that.
What are some of the most common things that you can do to enhance a rental space? Getting back to your show, renovation, some common things you can do. We talked about like my daughter not being able to do the thing in the ceiling, but what are some common things that you can do?
So painting is usually always a thing that, you know, again, with permission, color, spread, let's say, is always a thing. I think it makes the biggest impact. lighting is something I would change. So wherever she does have ceiling fixtures, which she must, there's no way her whole apartment has zero ceiling fixtures, but
zero.
Any...
Zero.
Really?
30, yeah.
Okay. New York versus Toronto.
And
then,
New York, because, it's crazy.
Yeah. So maybe older building too. That's why they don't have ceiling fixtures.
Yes. Yes.
So in Toronto, I would change the light fixtures. You know, that classic flat disc, like spaceship disc on the ceiling. I like to call them boob lights. They
boob
come
lights,
in. They come in like they're under $10 from a big box store. They're my literal nightmare. I would change the lighting. So it just, you can go to the same Home Depot or wherever you go, but you can go to the same store and just get the one that's not that.
Yes.
Because we all know what it is. So lighting, so any, like, you know, my preference is, as opposed to a flush mount, you pick something that kind of steps down from the ceiling. So there's a little bit of like a stem or a rod. So they're called semi-flush, specifically if you're like in an area where it's like height concerned. I'm 5'2", so I never hit a ceiling light ever in my life, but my husband would. And then hardware. So whether it's kitchen hardware or door hardware, that's like a really easy swap. Again, you can go to like Home Depot, you can go to IKEA, any hardware store will sell like something hardware. So like usually they have like builder basic ones that are hideous. And if you just swap it out to something, you obviously have to pick the same, it has to go in the same hole that you pulled it out of, or the same, like, you know, if it's a pull, then it would have to go through the same like increments where the screw holes are. But that's an easy thing. And then door hardware, as well as like an easy swap, a little bit more expensive than kitchen or cabinet hardware, but an easy enough thing that I change out every single handle in my entire condo.
So great. It's a facelift, right? It's an instant.
Yeah.
And I love the way you've described, not only as a cheap swap, but you've described this as jewelry for the kitchen. Like you could do crystal knobs, right?
Yes.
You can make it so pretty.
Yes. Yes. There's stores that sell stuff like that. That's like kitschy and cute. Like Anthropology sells, like, you know, I don't know, they have different things, like vintagey ones, or maybe it's like crystals, or it'd be like cute playful things for kids too, like you see like stars or like bows or moons or something that's like kind of fun. That's always an easy way to personalize your rental. There's pretty big possibilities with that.
Bathroom hardware, you've talked about how you can change it up, patch the wall, modernize it, give it an uplift. You can even do this with towels. What are some cool things that you can do with a bathroom to give it a facelift?
I mean, if you saw my old condo, I basically changed everything. I changed the hardware. I changed the faucets. I changed the lighting, which are obviously my top three. I painted it. I added, so any like towel bars or towel rings, you can also change. Hang some art, decor items, like, you know, put it where your Q-tips go, or where your like face pads go, where you put your toothbrush in, like those vessels that are like, literally you put them on the counter, take them off the counter, like when you leave, like it's not a big deal. Yeah. I'm just such a big believer in like your space reflects who you are in the current state and who you want to be. If it's chaotic in your home, then it's probably chaotic in your mind. And so how do we declutter that in a way? I'm not talking like a full-blown revamp of who you are as a person, but all of these things are like little details that I think make a world of a difference. And that's why, I mean, my husband was like, when we moved into our rental, he's like, we're really gonna wallpaper? And I was like, this is my first nursery I've ever done for myself. You're darn right we're gonna wallpaper and panel and paint. And I'm so happy I did, because I spent so much time in my son's nursery for the first 2 years of his life.
What colors are in there?
So Leland's nursery at the rental, where the bottom paneling that I did like a trim molding paneling at the bottom. It was kind of like a beige. It was Benjamin Moore Indian River. And then above it was like a jungle mural, not like jungle as in like kid jungle. It was like a full blown, just like trees. There were no monkeys or anything coming out at you. It was just like a treescape of a jungle. And it was a mural that ran all the way around. We didn't know what we were having. So that was the other thing, was I tried to design for neutral enough that if we had a boy or a girl, we didn't know. But it turns out it was, my child is wild. So it turned out that
it worked.
Fit perfectly in that room.
Did you ever watch Father of the Bride 2 with Steve Martin, Diane Keaton, and Martin Short?
I did. Oh my gosh. I actually just rewatched them, right?
Because me too. Because it's Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
I know.
So I was like, oh, got to watch all of them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's that the parents are the ones that care about the nurseries. more than kids. The kids have no concept until they're a certain age. So I always say design for you, because you're the one who's going to be in there the most.
Totally. No, you're right. That's very, very smart. So how does it feel? Okay, you're in this renovation series now. Like, this is just very cool. You have your own firm. Cool. You're working. You have your own home. You're living it. You get to show your aesthetic to clients. Now you've got your own series. Has there been a moment thus far, and I'm sure it's still ongoing because I know it started a month ago,
yeah,
that has just been an epiphany for you? Like, has there been a favorite moment thus far?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think the day that our director producer, Karen Tanya, called me on the phone and told me I got the show, I feel like that it was that day. And then the other day was when I was at, there was the launch party of all the new shows on the Home Network. But I remember asking, can my husband come? Like, is he supposed to come? And I remember being like, they're like, oh, it's up to you. Like, if you want to bring him. And I was like, yeah, but it's like 3 o'clock on like a Wednesday or whatever it was. And like, we have a child who's in school, and then my husband works downtown, and he's like, babe, it's 3 o'clock on a work day. Like, I'm going to have to get off at 2. Like, do I take half a day off? And I just remember having that conversation and thinking like, no, you should come. Like, I think it's a big deal. And then sure enough, like after, you know, talking with Chorus, they're like, oh no, there's going to be like 200 people there. And I was like, bet you're coming, take the day off. Like, meet me there on time. Like, and that, totally. And it was that day where you go into this, I almost had no expectations of how it was going to go. I was like, this is great. It's what I want, but I have no idea. And then you go there and then you see all these people. And then you go out because they call your name one by one and all the hosts are coming out one by one. And I'm like, oh, this is like, this is real. Like, this is not just, it'd be like getting called to like do a TED talk and walk on stage. Like, it was a big deal. And so I didn't realize. So I'd say those are the 2 days. The premiere day, which was the 2 Mondays ago, not this past Monday, but the Monday before, I had a viewing party at my house with my girlfriends and their husbands and their kids and stuff. So like that felt like I was being celebrated as well. Oh. But low key, they came out for dinner. We had a pie. It was great. It wasn't like, but so I feel like those three simultaneously felt pretty crazy.
What was the audition like? What did you have to do?
So it was two parts. So the first part, we went into like an actual person's apartment.
Yes.
And they were filming us and they were trying to figure out. So I had to talk to a producer, as in like it was me and the producer who was the renter, even though she wasn't the renter. But we were walking through it. We had a camera guy and a sound guy, and we were doing it.
Wow.
To see, I guess, like how I moved through space and how I talk. So that was one part. And then they were supposed to email me for the second part. And I was like, okay, like, I don't even know. I've done auditions before. I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen. Sometimes they call you back and they say, oh, you didn't get it. Somebody else. And I was like, okay, no problem. So I didn't really know what was going to happen. And then I went back for the second part. And then I was at the production, like at Nikki Ray's office. And then I get there and then I get hair and makeup done. And then I go into their area where they film. And it's like a full, not a green screen. It's not a green screen, but it's basically like a chair in the middle, like of the room. And they have two cameras. The sound guy has the boom over. I'm getting mic'd. Kara's sitting on a chair. Like, it was the whole, I was like, wow, you guys are doing this. Like, this is serious. Like, you're doing this to interview us. I didn't know how many people. And Kara always is kind of like, there's a couple of you. Like, we're just going to interview you. Turns out there were 7 of us.
Oh my God.
I had no idea. And then I bumped into, as I was leaving or going in, I had bumped into another designer who has her own show, Danielle Brick. And it was her and her daughter. And so I was texting my girlfriend later being like, oh my God, Danielle Brick's here. Like, I'm not going to get it. It's not, I was like, it's not going to happen. I just know she's already had her show on HGTV. Like, it's not going to happen. So I remember seeing her and being like, oh, it's not just new people who've never done this before. They're interviewing a bunch. Obviously I ended up getting it, so it didn't matter. But Danielle is like super talented. I was like, she's so cute. I loved her outfit and her daughter was here. There's 2 of them. How am I supposed to compete with 2 people?
Goodness.
Because you have the conversation between 2 people. And I was always told you will never really get your own show because you're one person. It's very hard to carry a design show when you're one person.
Wow.
Because it's not conversational.
Right.
So like, you need a contract. They always try, all of these other companies are trying to pitch me with another person. You need a contractor. You need a real estate agent. Does your sister want to do it? Does your husband want to be on TV?
Right.
And I was like,
I totally get why they chose you, because you have such a lovely mask. Personality. I get it. You had me at hello.
I was like, I can talk all day by myself. I don't need another person to be beside me. But no. So anyways, it was, those were pretty big. And I still feel like it's not, I don't want to say it's not real, but it doesn't feel, everyone who I talk to who is my close group of friends is always like, this is a big deal and this is going to blow up. Like, just so you know, it's going to happen. And my husband's like, I've been saying this since I met you. And I was like, oh, babe.
So great. That's so great. I hear that you enjoy a good throw pillow. So do I. I love throw pillows.
Yes.
What's great about a throw pillow and what do you love about them?
I feel like with throw pillows, you can change them up whenever you change your mind. So that's non-committal. I think that's a big thing. Unless you go custom, which is obviously the route that I end up going. And then I spend too much money. And I'm like, this has cost too much money. I'm never changing it in my life. And then I just sell it on Instagram for full price. And then it doesn't matter anyways.
Wow.
So I feel like it can add personality, texture. It can be seasonal. So like if you want ones for, I'm not a fan of Christmas pillows, but if you really love Christmas pillows, then put a Christmas pillow out. And if it makes you happy, one Christmas pillow.
One seasonal Christmas.
Okay. No, not the whole couch.
Just a pop.
Like color wise, if you want like a Christmas vibe, you could do, you know, green pillows or earthy pillows. And then like, if you want like a true Christmas pillow, as in Santa's face is on it or a reindeer or something, then I would just do one. I'm all for like kid room decor stuff, like cheesy, cute, kitschy stuff for kids. Cause there's magic in that for them. I see that now with my son, he's 4. But yeah, I just think it's a reflection of your personality and you can have some fun with it.
Is HomeSense the best place to go if you just need a good throw pillow quick? And I have a lot of white throw pillows and I'll just go to HomeSense and go on a bonanza sometimes.
Yeah. So I would say the covers at HomeSense are great.
Yeah.
But I shop everywhere, honestly. Like Pottery Barn has great pillows. Crate and Barrel has great, more expensive is what I would say. But then you can just buy the cover and then you can buy the inserts. I'm all about quality inserts and swapping out the cover.
Nice.
The quality inserts doesn't necessarily mean it's like crazy expensive, but Tonic Living is Canadian. They're based in Toronto. Buy an insert from them and then you can go and buy covers from like Etsy, HomeSense, Crate & Barrel, CB2, West Elm, where they all have seasonal. Zara Home has great covers as well. Like cute things. I love HomeSense. I should be a spokesperson for IKEA and HomeSense, actually. Actually, every single design brand I should be a spokesperson for, because I buy it from everywhere. But I love HomeSense and people love my HomeSense hauls. So I'll go and take pictures of all the things that I would pick for my design eye.
That's great.
Versus it's a confetti and it's just, there's stuff everywhere. Like you don't know where to look. You don't know what to buy.
Candy store.
Yeah. You don't know quality versus not quality versus trendy versus not trendy. But I love a good HomeSense haul.
So great. So we have a fireplace and the minute it gets cold, we actually have a pool. So when the pool season is over, which for me lasts 7 months, I started. Yeah. I just want that water. It's so tranquilizing, right?
Yeah.
But once it's over, the thing that makes me feel better is a fireplace. Not everyone has a fireplace, but you can create a fireplace on the fireplace channel or candles. And I think there's something about candles that are so great. Yeah. Love them. And what's so great about candles in a space?
So hilarious that you say that. We used to live in a church loft before and I looked into putting a gas fireplace and we couldn't. It was way too much money. We'd have to vent it weird. And it was like just the cost of a car is what it came down to. And my husband's like, we're not doing it. It's not happening. So I would put the fireplace channel on and I had a table in front of it that was like a mantle and I treated it like a mantle and I stuffed wood logs in there and I created a fireplace. So it obviously wasn't a fireplace, it was way too high off the floor, but it was a fireplace. And I love that I watch the fireplace channel all the time because it evokes the feeling of cozy. So that's a good hack for a rental. Like just buy a floating table or some sort of cabinet, et cetera, and just do it there and just create that space for you. And then you could put candles. So I've seen other scenarios where people put candles in like a fake fireplace scenario because they also can't light candles, fireplace, et cetera. So what do I love about candles? I mean, I have less candles now because I have little kids. So it's always fire is not their friend. But I love the scent transformation, that it could feel different. I love the cozy scents. Like right now I have one that's like cinnamon clove that's out there. There's like the Fraser Fir version, right? That I think is like at every single design store, like the Times Fraser Fir, it's everywhere. And then, yeah, I just think it can transport you in a sense, but I'm picky with my scents because not all scents are made the same. The quality is not the same.
Right.
I'm not a cheap candle person. I'm like,
you want the good stuff.
I want the good stuff. Like when you walk into an Anthropology and it smells like that, yes, that scent, you know, you're at that store. Like I want the good quality expense, which equates to expensive, but unfortunately.
So, you know what, with the kids, because I also have two little baby grandchildren, they live overseas, but I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old both. Mm-hmm. And the 2-year-old, like, it's just all over. So I had to say no candles. And I got those battery operated candles. And
yeah,
they're in different shapes. In
yes,
different
yes.
sizes, like tall, medium, small.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
Do you believe in those?
I don't use them for anything other than like, I'll put them in my lanterns outside.
Yes.
So that way I can flick them on and turn them on. I don't typically use them on the interiors because I like the ones that are made of wax as opposed to the ones that are made of plastic. So I think they're great. I mean, they kind of give off the same vibe. Again, the better quality ones usually look more realistic than the cheaper quality ones because I bought cheaper ones for Halloween for my son. But yeah, I mean, I don't have, it's so funny. Like I, when he was 2, oh, I had no decor on any surface.
I know,
like,
right?
Like literally nothing anywhere. And it killed me, but also I didn't want to keep having to like take the thing off the ottoman and put it away. And so now I have a baby, a younger baby now who's 11 months. And so now he's at the grabbing, pulling down things age where now it's, again, it's happening to me again. So the moment I could put it out, I have to now put it back away. So
picture frames. I didn't even realize in our piano picture frames. You was grabbing the picture frames. Like, wait, I got to get those Lucite ones. I kind of have glass picture frames.
Yeah. I mean, they pull down everything, to be honest. It doesn't really matter what it is.
Crazy. In your design career, and I'm not talking now about Rentation, which is still ongoing. I encourage everyone to watch it. We're going to find it at the end, when and how and where you can watch it. But in your overall design career, has there been a favorite project that you've mastered, one that stands out above all the rest that you just go, wow?
We're going to find out all about that when we come back. We're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And just before the break, Natalie, I asked you, what has been one of your favorite projects in your design career?
In my entire design career?
Yeah.
Oh, other than my own house? Yeah, I have these one clients that I've been with them for a very, very long time. We built this epic cottage in Muskoka. Just this, like, it's not a cottage. I mean, it's a recreational home. Yeah, it's beautiful. And they've been my clients for so long. We've added like building by building by building. And they've given me relatively free rein, I would say, for what it is. I've never been able to photograph it because they're relatively private. And then also then I had 2 kids. So like the timing never aligned. And then they added a new building. And so that trust and that ability and that budget was, I never thought that I would ever have. And yeah, unfortunately, it's just these little snippets on Instagram that I can't.
You're allowed to show. Do you have any design crushes? People you just go, wow, I love.
Oh, So my favorite interior designer of maybe all time, her name is Nam Dang Mitchell. She's Asian and she's from Calgary. And I just think her life is like, wow. She has two kids that are older now. She has an apartment in New York. She's just like so, just elegant.
Do you prefer to work with a couple or an individual? And do you find it difficult sometimes when you're working with a couple where the partner may have very specific ideas that might be a little different, you know, and you have to balance the two, the husband and the wife?
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, I kind of say that I'm also like a therapist in the same way, because it's, you're talking about like big financial decisions, right? You're not home design, residential design is not, I always say it's like, it's a luxury because it's not like you need me. You're asking me to come into your home to change something that already is there, right? Yeah. So my husband always says he hates like redundant things. We have a lamp. Why do we need a new lamp? What's wrong with the lamp that was here? You picked the lamp. So I feel like most people feel that way where it's like they don't understand. And my husband fully understands. I shouldn't be bashing him in any way because I do love him dearly. But we do make design decisions together. But it is a balancing act. And I always say it's the same thing as a relationship. Like it's about compromise. Like you get one thing that you care more about, which is fine. But then that means your partner gets something else that they care more about. You can't care equally as much about every single item in your home. So a lot of times it'll be like, a couch or a sofa that somebody really cares about, that they have a preference for whatever. And then somebody else will be like, okay, well then I really care about, I don't know, the ceiling light that's in the dining room, right? So like, you can't all be like, that's my number one pick. That's my number one pick. You get your own things that you need to prioritize, that we will prioritize aesthetically. Yes. But then the other person gets other things.
Right.
It has to be balanced. I'm not going to say it's 50-50 because in my household, even though this is my job, it's not 50-50. He doesn't know. It's not even like 90-10. I involve him in the conversation, but we make the decision together. Like I pick through the universe and then he picks out of my universe. Okay. So I think that that's the way it should be. But I am a therapist. It's navigating emotion because it's people's homes, right? It's navigating money because things cost money. And it's navigating like your marital, I don't know what the right word is, but it's like basically your marital dispute. Like, I don't want you to have a dispute over a ceiling light.
Right. It's not worth it. What do you love about what you do, Natalie? It seems like everything, but like if you could just put it in at, you know, 25 words or less.
What do I love about what I do? I just love design. I mean, I think I love making spaces where people that are going to use it and appreciate it and see it in its best light. I think that that's where things matter. And like hearing my clients who say like, you know, oh, we hosted, you know, whatever. And we had all the people in the living room and we had the perfect amount of seating. And I'm so happy you convinced me to get these stools or whatever, because we pulled those out of the front room and da, da, da. I love hearing when people use this space the way that it was intended. Mm-hmm. I had a client, also one of my favorite clients, I would say, but she has a house not too far from where I live. And she turned her dining room into like a lounge.
Oh, nice.
During COVID. And she was like, my daughters now do homework in the lounge while my other daughter is playing the piano in that room. And so like, she's like, we never use the dining room. We had a massive dining room with like a table to seat 10. And we hosted twice a year. Everyone stands at the kitchen island. They have a huge island. Yes. But so she had just said to me, I'm so happy that we did this because now we actually use this space versus before it was a dumping ground for 99% of the year, right? Yeah. And I don't actually even have a dining room. It's my kids' playroom because I have two little ones, right? So my brother-in-law keeps yelling at me because he's like, when are we going to get a proper dining room? I'm like, guys, we're not here that often.
We're not there yet.
And you're never here. You don't need a dining room table. Yeah.
I know that in 2018, your favorite song that you couldn't get enough of was Daniel Caesar's Get You, that you blasted your radio. What is it these days?
Oh, Olivia Dean, anything. Oh my gosh. I've been listening to her for years. I'm so happy that she's like finally getting the attention she deserves because she's incredible. I mean, I just did a reel of The Man I Need in my kitchen with my kids, dancing on a Saturday with my husband. And like, yeah, I mean, it's my husband's like, everyone should see me. I should be in the video with you. And I was like, bless you. Everyone does. Like literally the fourth most Googleable thing, you search Nellie Chong. It's like Nellie Chong Instagram, Nellie Chong Design, Nellie Chong, whatever. And that says Nellie Chong husband.
Husband.
I was like, you're famous. So Olivia Dean. Yes.
That's so great. What is your ultimate dream to achieve in this industry? Is there some dream or goal that you would love to have happen?
In the TV industry or design industry?
TV, design, any of it, a book. I don't know. Just out there.
Oh, I would love a book, but I don't think my design career has enough content to fill the pages of a book. Like that would be a dream, but it would have to be, I'd have to be pumping design like projects. I would love to be on a major platform like Netflix.
Nice.
I want a show on a bigger platform, on just a bigger platform that goes worldwide as opposed to North America or Canada or Ontario or whatever you want to call it. I want.
Can you come back when that happens and tell me all
about it? 100%. Amazon, give me like a full, but I want it like produced by that platform, like a Netflix production or a whatever production. That's the next shoot for the moon. You'll land somewhere close.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you on that so much. Yeah. What are you hoping viewers take away from Rentovation?
To be adventurous, to be daring, to be excited about your space, to love it for however long you're there, invest in it, make it your own, and yeah, to just enjoy it, entertain, hang some art, paint some walls, change the hardware, and just like your home is a reflection of who you are. And I think that that's, we don't spend enough time considering that. I think we focus on our physical aesthetic more than we do about the space that we're in. But I mean, like, there's nothing better than like, we had a big open house for our, when we moved in, because we've been talking about building our house for years. Mm-hmm. And it was the best party we have ever thrown since our wedding. Oh. And I was like, this was good. We are good hosts. And it was so nice to see people see my house the way that I designed it and be blown away by the things that I had done because I worked so hard to get it there. And it'd be the same thing where whether you host a party in a rental or you host a party in a house, like it doesn't really matter. You're proud. Oh. And like, these are the lights that we picked. And this is obviously what I do for a living. So like, I'm even more sensitive to, you know, that. But to see everyone in my, like, we had 75 people come over to our house. And they were just like, this is incredible. You guys did a phenomenal job. Oh. All of that makes me feel amazing. It just means that I did a great job, right? Like that it was the way that I designed it was the way that it was perceived. And that's important to me.
So great.
Yeah.
What is bliss for Nellie Chong?
Ooh, bliss. Like a warm home, a home filled with the laughter of my two little monkeys, a home-cooked meal, my family over, like my sister, my brother-in-law, my niece, with all the dogs barking and all the chaos. But just, yeah, I feel like just being content with where you are in life, but also surrounding yourself with people that love you and adore you and also cook for you. But
Sounds great. It's really been an honor to have you on this program.
I have enjoyed
every single minute.
Thank you so much.
What is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and where can we watch Rentovation?
You can stream it through Stack TV. You can see me, very pregnant me, every week. I'm not pregnant at some point. And then I am on Instagram, which is at Love Nellie Chong, like a signature is how I think of it. My company is called Nest Design Studio, but usually you'll see my chatty face on Instagram every day.
That's awesome. Well, we're definitely going to follow you and follow each other. And
thank you. Thank you so much.
Each week, we spotlight a fabulous person like Nellie Chong, who is living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, a designer, therapist, life coach, singer, actor, dancer, we'd love to hear from you. We also love to feature singers, songwriters, and musicians on this show. Please reach out to us and just write to us, fyb@findyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, find your passion and your purpose. And I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
I would love to thank our wonderful guest, Natalie Chong, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Meg Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Chelsea Lockstead, Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannicielo, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. Also, thanks to Garrett Flores for the beautiful pink roses that adorn our set each week. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all that good design turns a home into a sanctuary for the soul, and that a well-designed space creates peace, clarity, and comfort. I hope this brings you all one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.